Welcome, Fright fans, to 1984's Nightmare on Elm Street, starring Robert Englund, Heather Langenkamp, Lauren knows. Anyway, 1984, directed by Wes Craven, starring everyone's favorite slasher, Freddy Krueger. Come on down, figure out why this is one of my favorites, and why it's problematic. You kind of already know. Welcome to Fright Pub.
Welcome to Fright Pub, an intoxicating horror movie podcast.
Today, Fright fans, we're talking about Nightmare on Elm Street, 1982, the year that I was born. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Is this 82?
Yes.
Well, I think it's 84.
Listen, man, I just make it up. I make it up as I go.
I know, and you, man, you make it up with fucking conviction. I think it's 84.
Mm-mm, it's 82. It's
84. It's 84.
Fuck! All right, fine.
Hey, I was right! Usually...
Look at you!
Look at me. Usually when I do shit like that, I'm wrong.
Well, 82.
Doesn't that feel good?
It 84. Does feel good.
Okay, 1984, Nightmare on Elm Street, Wes Craven, New Line Cinema was going under. No one was going to save it.
Oh, you really did want it to be your birth year, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I love this movie. That's fair. There was a large part of me that identified with Freddy Krueger. Not the child murderer, but everything else. Like, I love Freddy.
That's
I think
why
he's
you
the
lived
best.
In denial.
He was like, because the first time I ever read about Freddy Krueger, I'd only seen snippets of Freddy Krueger, and my mother would never let me see Freddy Krueger. And then I read about how someone gave a fucking opinion piece about how Freddy Krueger is a coyote trickster figure, but more in a horror vein. And I was like, holy shit.
Hmm.
And there's like, yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry, coyote trickster? Coyotes are tricksters?
Yeah, in the Native American tradition, coyote is a trickster.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This movie, Nightmare on Elm Street, New Line Cinema's going under, it's absolutely going to bomb, it's over, nothing's going to happen, there hasn't been a hit in forever, and then lo and behold, Wes Craven shows up and says, listen, I have an idea, I have a lot of people that are willing to back us, a lot of executive producers, it's going to cost $2 million to do. It's about a man that kills people in their dreams. And New Line's like, fuck it, we're going under anyway. We're almost direct to VHS, so fuck it. He rolls this out, and it is a smash 10X hit, baby! Saves New Line Cinema. Saves it. They put it out for $2 million and made $25 million, which is a lot of money back in 1984. Mm-hmm. A lot of money. And then all of a sudden, they put Freddy, who only has 7 fucking minutes total in the whole film, on... All of a sudden, he's up there with the Jasons.
He's on lunchboxes.
He's everywhere. Everyone thinks Freddy is just this, like, wow, what a crazy man. Because we had never seen this shapeshifter, trickster character with omnipotent powers before. We'd never seen anything like this, right? We'd only read about it in Stephen King's It, which this character is a little bit based off of.
Okay.
This character is a little bit based off of Stephen King's It.
And I'll get a little, more, he's a little Pennywise.
And I'll get into that later. And the fact that he's
but this
goofy
was before. Well, no, not before the book.
Not before the book. Again,
interesting.
As we know, Wes Craven bites the hardest rhymes from other people and then passes them off as his own. Right? Like,
I don't know. I have thoughts about that, to be honest.
I mean, the whole like pulling you through the door thing, that was Jason. Bit done. The fact that at the end of the movie, Freddy is all of a sudden vulnerable because he's in the real world and I'm no longer scared of you. And that makes you like that again, Pennywise, boom. The 500 gallons of blood used in the Johnny Depp scene.
So much.
Bit from The Shining.
So funny.
Right?
Yeah.
Bit directly from The Shining. The whole idea of like the fucking room that turns around that films the upside down shit, bit from other movies that did it before.
Interesting.
Right? All this is an amalgamation, SAT word. Thanks, guys. Amalgamation of different amazing horror movies and books that have been put into one film, passed off as its own. If you're gonna, like, Good artists borrow, great artists steal, and Wes Craven stole almost this entire movie from other places and put it together in a fucking weaponized version of fucking Nightmare on Elm Street, baby! And that's why I put it on the list. It belongs here. It's amazing. You cannot talk about slashers without talking about Freddy motherfucking Krueger. Juice.
Well, and we did kind of shoehorn this movie a little bit because, like, into where we were talking about it, because it was one of those things where we've been talking about the Halloween franchise, we've been talking about the Friday the 13th franchise, we were able to find a place for Saw, like, we've been talking about these big franchises, and it's like there was I can't even do it with straight face. There was a gaping hole.
Thank you.
In our discussions.
In my
ass. Nope. And that gaping hole was the lack of Nightmare on Elm Street. 100%. And it was like, how can we incorporate this? And I'm actually going to take credit for this, like, because I had the thought of doing it during daylight savings.
That's
because
true. That was your idea.
Technically lose sleep, gain sleep. It's always fucking with our sleep. And I think it's appropriate. I think it fits. I think it works, but there was definitely some, like, creative liberties taken in trying to get this discussed, because it just felt wrong to not have talked about it for what are we on? I mean, I guess we're on our fourth, like, we've started our fourth year, right?
Because
we're on Halloween 4. So it just feels like we needed to start talking about this franchise.
And honestly, they're my favorites because they have the most creative deaths. The deaths are incredible. Yeah,
I knew that. And ugh. Also, like, it's a little selfish too, because I had never seen this movie.
Ever?
No, I have not seen any of them.
Tell me you liked
it. So this was the first time.
You know what? I'll wait. Don't tell me.
This was the first time I had seen it. And it's funny that you're saying about the whole, like, Wes Craven steals, because there were a couple of moments, arguably one of them being, like, I feel like he was stealing from himself. But there were a couple of moments where I feel like I saw other movies in this movie. And the first moment was pretty much the first, not the first time you see Freddy Krueger, but the I think the second time. Well, Fred Krueger, right? He's credited as Fred Krueger at this point.
Fred Krueger, but he calls himself Freddy.
Okay. So when he has, like, the really long arms and then he starts running after her, like, I 100% felt like Leprechaun stole that run.
Yeah, dude.
Like,
he has the stupidest fucking run.
And that felt right out of Leprechaun.
It's the stupidest fucking run.
He dances like he's having the best time.
But it felt like Leprechaun stole that run.
By the way, the incredibly long arm scene,
yeah,
they did that with fishing poles. They literally had fishing poles on either side of him and then, like, slowly brought his arms.
Why did they look so bubbly?
Well, you work with what you got.
All right.
That's it.
I honestly don't love that. I don't love that happening in that moment.
Yeah, that was weird to me too.
If I could just give a little bit of creative criticism here, a little bit of critique, a little feedback for Wes.
Wes, if you're listening, Liam's talking.
40 years too late.
Look at this. This is actually really lovely. He's being very, like, diplomatic because he really knows how much you love this movie.
Nice. Thank you so much.
I mean, I don't know if that's the reason why, but,
like, I don't necessarily have a problem with the big arms thing. Jesus, why are you doing the big arms thing? But it's the fact that that's the first time we get a really good, clear shot of Freddy.
Yes. Yes.
And he's immediately doing the big arms thing.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like save it for the second or maybe third.
It was weird because at that point I was like, oh, does he just have big arms? Is that just him?
Yeah, it's like, is that a thing? Does his arms just do, like, ooh, I can grab more kids this way.
I think,
like,
that's a fair, yeah.
I once caught a fish this big.
I guess the thing is, and that's the other thing, is that, like, I never put two and two together.
Uh-huh.
And that, like, the kids that are singing always off screen are his ex-victims.
Oh.
Because I always thought they were just ghost children that accompanied Freddy for some reason.
Right,
I never
put that together. But 100%.
But he's always chasing teenagers. And I was like, well, those aren't kids. Those are teenagers. Well. Because when I first, like, learned and saw snippets of Freddy, I was like 8, 9
uh-huh.
And then I was like, oh, those are teens, those are grown-ups almost, like, that's not kids. He's not killing kids, he's killing like teenagers.
Well, I thought he was going after the kids of the parents who killed him.
Let's talk about that, but before we get into it, maybe, because we're about to really get into it, man. I got a page of motherfucking
notes.
I
love it. The other thing that I wanted to talk about with, like, the stealing thing,
yep,
is him stealing from himself, because I felt like that bedroom scene where Johnny Depp climbs up the window is, like, right out of Scream.
Oh, 100%.
Or Scream, like, you know.
Absolutely.
So he was just
Scream,
like,
paid homage too.
It's just very interesting, because in, like, we talked about Scream and how, like, Scream took this from here and this from here. It's like Scream stole from all the greats, and then Wes Craven was like, well,
you see
and
him
mine.
As a janitor.
Well,
Scream,
thank you.
In the fucking
Scream
hallway.
Did it in a meta.
Yeah, that's true.
Scream was doing it in a meta sense.
Yes.
It was being very intentionally referential.
Intentionally. Right. But
this,
I just, modern. Yeah.
This, not so much.
No. I know. I just, having seen Scream first and then seeing that bedroom scene, but I also thought it was really funny and in a clever way, in that, like, he does pay homage to so many quote-unquote great movies, and so of course he's got to pay homage to another huge franchise, which just happens to be his own. You know what I mean? Like, I just, I thought, yeah it tickled
I bit my
me.
Own
well, and
rhymes.
Also,
right?
I think in rhymes. Scream probably works better if you've seen this one first,
mm-hmm.
because of the accused boyfriend angle.
Yes.
Because, spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen Scream yet,
uh-huh.
I don't know why you're here,
right?
But if you are, if it's happened, you know, you have that, like, oh, the boyfriend did it, but we find out this early that he's the prime suspect. It can't be him. That goes a certain distance all on its own. But if you've seen this movie and you already have that trope in your head, then it kind of doubles down on that. Oh, it can't be Skeet Ulrich.
Right.
He's just the misunderstood bad boyfriend.
Right. And not knowing this movie, really, and not remembering, like, that Johnny Depp was in this movie, it was really funny to be like,
introducing. He got that good credit.
He did. Yeah. It must have been. So,
well,
do we think it was like that from the beginning? Because I'm sorry, he was nothing special in
this
movie.
Let's talk about it. So the reason why he got cast, Wes Craven's daughter thought he was so cute and dreamy and amazing and was like, oh my God, daddy, you have to cast him. He's so great. Right? So Johnny might have batted those fantastic lashes right at Wes Craven's daughter.
I mean, I get that.
Like, I'm here now. Put me in 21 Jump Street next. Let's go.
Like, I get that. And he's super cute, but he's nothing special in this movie.
Not in this
like,
one,
I'm no. sorry. I definitely had a moment of, I was like, all right, Tom Hanks did way better on his debut than Johnny Depp.
You're saying Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks did better in that piece of shit. What was it called?
It doesn't matter. Tom, he knows you're alone.
He
Tom
knows
Hanks
you're alone.
Fucking stole the show in that movie. What a goober.
You just have a Hanks fetish, man.
I'm sorry. Like, Tom Hanks did something interesting with his character in that movie. He had like he had like fucking 5 minutes of screen time, and I found him way more interesting than Johnny Depp in this whole. And I'm a Johnny Depp fan. I love Johnny Depp.
Okay, right. I'm
he
just
was,
saying, like,
he was nothing in this movie.
If you also have thoughts, please go to HankPink.com. That's 1K. They share the K. Like,
I don't know. I thought Tom Hanks' debut was much better.
It's not hankypanky.com?
Much
That's
more impressive.
Way better. That's way better.
Hankypanky.tom?
That's actually just pictures of Hank with his shirt off. A lot of Castaway on that. You know, originally, Charlie Sheen was cast as Johnny Depp's
role. As Glenn. Okay.
but he wanted $3,000 a week for shooting. And they said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
We ain't got it. This is a $2 million film. Thanks, bye. Crazy. So, before we get any further, because I want to talk to Liam about his point earlier, let's talk about what we are drinking.
Oh, right. Oh, wait. Liam wants to go last, probably.
Oh, that's
fine.
He's
got the LDC drink.
That's fine. Okay. I made something called... I went to a pop-up bar in Robinson, and they made something called a Nightmare on Bourbon Street, and the ingredients were simply bourbon and cider. And I was like, no, no, fuck y'all. This is terrible. Nightmare... Look, Bourbon Street is in New Orleans. All right, fine. So I made a Sazerac and apple cider, right?
Nice.
It is six shots of Peychaud's bitters so that you can still smell the Peychaud's over the cider, right? You mix
and
it,
the absinthe.
Right. You muddle it up. You put two shots of absinthe here and a little absinthe in, so that way you can still smell the absinthe over the cider. Because cider, by the way, is strong.
I can smell
aromatic.
The absinthe in that, though.
Right. Well, in this one. Hold on. It's this one. I have two drinks in my hands.
Oh.
I'm double fisting, baby.
Is this just straight absinthe?
I don't know the answer to that. We're going to tell. This is the
LDC
drink.
Oh, that's the LDC drink. Oh, interesting.
So this is
we'll
a Sazerac with lots of bitters, right? You pour out about 2 ounces into a chilled glass, right? After you've, you know, what's it called? Louched. You fuck.
Yeah, it's that.
Did you louch it?
You don't typically louch it
in a Sazerac, but
I louched. I went ahead.
You louched?
I went ahead and louched.
Mom, do you louch?
Sometimes you just feel less than fresh. I louched, and then I put the 2 ounces of the Peychaud's and
rye. You fucking
louchebag. You louchebag. That's a good one. You put three ounces of rye with 5 shots of bitters. You muddle the bitters and the sugar together until the sugar's really broken up. Put it all together. Stir it up real, real good until the sugar dissipates. Pour that in, and then put 2 ounces of cider right on top. And then, boom, you have yourself what I like to call the Nightmare on Bourbon Street.
That's clever.
Thanks.
You did good. I went down to Spoonwood. So I was debating a couple of, cause what came to mind immediately with this was there were a couple of drinks and I was also almost going to go down to Mindful Brewing and get some Sleeping Giant.
That's a good one.
It would have been a good one. Right. But I decided to go the other route and I went to Spoonwood Brewing and got some Cold Drip City. Which the idea of, you know, it's Cold Drip City. It's a coffee beer.
Ooh, stay awake.
Yeah, to stay awake. Yeah.
With patented stay awake pills.
Right.
From the movie.
Yeah.
Stay awake pills. Registered
not
trademark.
Speed.
Because I
definitely
think
not speed.
I think I've done Sleeping Giant. And actually, like, I think I've done Sleeping Giant for another movie. I might have done Cold Drip City as well, but I can't remember. I don't think I have. So, because I usually try to stay away from coffee beers because caffeine doesn't really agree with me. But it's okay. And so, yeah, so I decided to go with the stay awake route.
Nice.
Also, since we lost Shaggy on a recent episode.
We didn't lose me.
Some sleep.
I was here the whole time.
we knew exactly where he was.
We knew where he was.
I got to tell you, since I only have one cup of coffee a day now and I prioritize my sleep to the point that I make sure that I have a ritual. And I got to tell you, my anxiety is through the floor.
Good.
It's phenomenal.
That's awesome.
I love it.
So I went down to Lawrenceville Distilling Company.
LDC! LDC!
Made it on down, saw Joe and Jeremy, our guys. They're doing great. They've been super busy, but...
we love you guys.
They were able to get one ready for us.
Wow. The best.
This is something that Joe came up with. It's a new spin on an old classic. Very old, actually. This is a riff on a pre-prohibition cocktail.
Oh.
So you know it's strong.
Ooh.
Because them pre-pro people, they'd mix booze with their booze if they needed more booze in their booze.
And for the record, this is booze. Absolutely where I was smelling the absinthe. So tell
us 100%.
Yeah.
So this is a riff on an old Savoy cocktail called the Dream.
Oh.
It's the Dream cocktail. which traditionally is made with brandy, but this is their LDC's house whiskey with their house absinthe.
Nice.
Their Ridge Avenue absinthe.
1169. 1129? I thought it was 69.
Oh, man. I can never remember the numbers.
Nice.
The Ridge Avenue absinthe. And triple sec with a dash of orange bitters in it.
Delicious.
So not, again, not too dissimilar from the direction you went, Shaggy. It's has a strong Zazerac flair to it, but with some triple sec in there and the orange bitters. And they called it Welcome to Your Nightmare.
That's a good one.
Love it. Love it. And it tastes amazing.
I haven't gotten there
yet. Yeah, it's real strong. It's real, real strong.
That's drink seven for you. You'll get there.
It's, yeah.
It's strong.
It's on my list.
It's on the list.
It has an A and a W and a couple of G's in there.
Ooh, I love
strong.
It. Strong. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Dope. So, let's talk about it. The reason why I love this movie so much, and the subsequent films are very trickstery, fun, lots of good deaths, but this specific movie it's very much an alternate telling of it, in that you have an omnipotent, omnipresent, horrific trickster figure, almost godlike, that can come in and out of your dreams at any time and do whatever he wants. Literally whatever he wants. Appear, disappear, change shape, be wherever you are, change reality. Anything. Anything at all. He could be anyone. He could change any place. He could get you at school. He could get you at home. He could get you at your mom's house. He could get you in the car. Doesn't matter. He gets you wherever he wants, wherever he is. As long as you fall asleep, he's got you, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is a living nightmare that can literally kill you if you are afraid of him. As soon as you are not afraid of him, you win.
Which is very it. Yeah.
It's very it.
But do you win?
But you don't win.
Yeah, it feels like you don't.
Freddy always wins.
Well, time out. Freddy always wins. And that's actually, that's something I want to talk about too. Did you guys know there were four endings filmed for this?
No.
There were four endings filmed for this. There was the first ending was a happy ending. Literally a happy ending where they drive off into the sunset and they roll credits. And that was Wes Craven's ending. Wes Craven still says that Freddy won. Nightmare on Elm Street 1. I call it Freddy 1 because it's quicker. But Nightmare on Elm Street 1 was supposed to be a happy ending. Where, like, they drive off into the sunset, okay? This other dude, Ellis, I think his name is. I'm not entirely sure. This other dude decided to film the other one where he's like, yeah, no, fuck that. They pull Nancy's mom right through the goddamn window. And then Freddy's driving the car, but it's also the car. And, yeah, fuck everyone. Like, there's that ending, and there was two other endings that were like
Have you seen the Revolutionary Girl Utena movie?
Unless you showed it to me, no.
There's a straight-up scene where, like, the hero and the villain turn into fucking cars and drive around in a weird race, and there's literally a line of dialogue that's like, you didn't think I could turn into a car, too. Like, it is bonkers, and it kind of reminds me of this. Where he's just like, ha ha, I'm a car now. Chomp.
Chomp, chomp, chomp. And I love it. And I love it. It plays very much on Final Girl, right? Like, those two have sex, so they die first, okay? And then we don't care anymore. And then we're like, okay, you literally just didn't stay up enough. You knew the dangers and you played with fire, so I'm going to kill you anyway. In a horrific, horrific way. Like, I'm going to liquefy your body. When the EMTs show up with a stretcher, that's a joke. Like, that's a funny bit that happens when they're like, better get the stretcher for the puddle, man.
They should have brought a bucket.
Everyone knows it's... Everyone knows Friday night is death night. Bring two buckets.
Bring two buckets.
Like, that's all there is to it. So, that's absolutely fantastic. I don't like that Freddy wins at the end, honestly.
Okay.
In every other movie I've seen, and I have seen a lot of Freddy's because I do like all the weird and creative deaths. And the fact that he's a shapeshifter, it's great. He's literally evil Coyote. He's evil Anansi. It's amazing, and I love it. He's like fucking teller of stories. It's great. But in the first one, it doesn't make sense that he wins at the end. It just doesn't. Wes Craven's right, just like Lauren's right. And the happy ending should have been the one that was put in.
Bob Shay, I think, is the name.
Bob Shay was the guy that was like, no, 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 here's my Freddy wins ending, where we have a
1985
Cadillac, like, hard, like, soft top that has a red and green stripe soft top for no fun. Oh, by the way, last thing. When that fucking soft top drops down, it wasn't supposed to come down that hard that fast, so their screams in there are real reactions. Like, oh, fuck! Anyway, Liam, go for it.
My hot take, and I don't know if Wes Craven has confirmed this ever,
okay,
but you'll never convince me that this isn't the truth. Freddy Krueger was inspired by Humphrey Bogart.
What?
That is a hot take.
That is a hot take. Is it the fedora?
I need you to, first of all, see if I... Have you seen Treasure of the Sierra Madre?
Yes, you showed it to me.
Yeah. He's got the fedora.
Mm-hmm.
There is a point in that movie, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, Humphrey Bogart plays Fred C. Dobbs.
Okay.
Halfway through the movie, he goes crazy. In this case, because it is for his lust for gold. And does not need to sleep anymore. Because he's crazy. And he looks at Tim Holt, who is his prospecting partner, and says, let's see, how much gold do we have? And he calculates it, and it's like $25,000 is my half, and $25,000 is your half. I bet you $25,000 that you fall asleep before I do.
Wow.
And just stays awake, and Tim Holt is sitting there trying not to fall asleep because he knows as soon as he falls asleep, Humphrey Bogart's going to kill him.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty dope. And he has a fedora on the whole time?
I cannot unsee it. For most of the movie, yeah. It's what Humphrey Bogart does in this movie.
Because
most of the movie. Not the whole movie, but he has that on for most of the movie.
Like he said, Wes Craven comes out to say, and again, I hate directors because they lie about their motivations. They go back and say, like, when someone says, that was brilliant, they make up shit. So I don't know if this is true, but at a certain point in the 70s during Pol Pot, right? Like there was a group of Southeastern Asians called the Hmong tribe, and they came over here to escape from Pol Pot and the devastation in Cambodia. When they came over, at least four distinct people were having horrible nightmares to the point that they no longer slept. They chose not to sleep, and they went days and days without sleeping, and then finally passed out for an extended period of time, woke up screaming crazily, and died. Four people in four separate areas all had the same instance happen to them. It's now called Brugada syndrome. Okay? But it's incredibly rare. Because it's not an actual heart attack. You just wake up and die. Like you're asleep, you're asleep. Terrible nightmare. Stay awake, stay awake, stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. go to sleep, wake up screaming, die, not from a heart attack, just die. Right? So like,
yeah,
that's what he says it was from, and that the mystery was that like there was never an identified cause of death. That's what he says it's from. But given that Wes Craven has stolen with both hands from a lot of movies, your theory just saying, sounds it more is interesting.
It's impossible that he has never seen Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Yeah, it's impossible. Like,
that is right. That is actually impossible.
Mm-hmm.
For a filmmaker to have not seen that movie is just incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're lying about it.
Right. Also, he says that the name Freddy came from a bully that he had when he was a kid.
So, maybe.
Again,
It's a lot of coincidence.
A lot of coincidence to not be like, yo, I stole this from Treasure of Sierra Madre.
Which I guess happens. I mean,
Bugs Bunny is based on Clark Gable from It Happened One Night. So, like, it's not necessarily stealing. He definitely, like, Humphrey Bogart is not Freddy Krueger, clearly.
Right.
Famously not a child murderer.
Right.
Famously not a child murderer, Humphrey Bogart.
So that's interesting that went over your head. But I guess, so when did you first see this movie, Shaggy?
So my folks were the first ones to figure out they could get a VHS tape, and then they had two VCRs and they would tape movies.
Uh-huh.
They would like go down to Blockbuster or wherever,
rent a
movie, take it home, nice. Tape it, and then return it and be like, all right, we now have a movie that we watch whenever we want. To the point that like, we had a whole fucking list of movies. We had so many movies at our house that we literally just taped over other people. So
that's amazing.
Again, I mean, I don't see the problem. We weren't distributing them. We were just watching them again and again and again.
Whatever.
Did you have movies taped on the back of other movies? Like, you'd be like, okay, I'm going to watch Karate Kid, but then at the end of that, I'm going to watch Harry and the Hendersons, because that's what we have on this tape after
that. Yes. To the point that it got, like, almost burnout. The one that I remember watching nonstop was Supergirl with Peter O'Toole, followed by Street Hawk, which was basically Knight Rider, but a motorcycle. Like, I would watch Street Hawk and Supergirl nonstop, back to back, bang, 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 all the damn time. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. I think Goonies was also on there. I watched it nonstop, too. Anyway,
how old were you when you watched this one?
God, I had to be 8.
Okay.
I had to be 8 years old, and, like, my mom and dad didn't know that I was watching
it. Okay, I was wondering, because you were talking about that.
It was also one of the first ones that we, like, taped over. My dad didn't know what he was doing, to the point that it was, like, we didn't really know what was going on. Here's what's really weird. I'm pretty sure he also taped porn on the back of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I would be like, Freddy, 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 this is too scary, let me speed it up. Oh, I sped up too much. Here are people fucking.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
So, like, basically, like, I think I got the Pavlovian response of, oh, are you scared? You're horny now. Guess what? You're horny now.
That's also scary movies, too, though.
Scary movies make you horny?
Well, no. Yeah. But, I mean, like, there's a lot of sex in scary movies. Like,
psychologically speaking, like, the fear response and the horny response are very similar in the brain waves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
fair.
And what was your introduction to it?
That was my mom, who sat me down and said, we're going to watch this together.
Okay, so this was...
And that was 13. So that was 13. When my folks were going through their divorce, and my mom decided she wanted to have more bonding time with me, but she was also, like, way into scary movies.
Okay.
So we sat down, and then, like, my dad would get blackout drunk, and my mom would make me watch It with her, and Candyman with her, and Dracula with her, and like lots of horror movies we would watch. We'd sit there and watch. So we watched the whole miniseries with It. Okay. I never put two and two together with It and Freddy
until recently,
when I was like, wait a minute, they have the same kryptonite. Like, and also Pennywise can be anywhere at any time. And Freddy could be anywhere at any time. Wait a minute. Like,
so the timer just went off. Do we want to give ourselves 10 more minutes, 15 more minutes, or just talk? What do we want to do?
Let's just talk. Fuck it.
Yeah, I think we're close.
I've got four things and I'm done.
So I saw this movie once before.
Okay.
I saw it in college. One of my rare roommates who wasn't Shaggy showed it to me.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, really? Was that Alan?
Yeah.
Are you jealous?
Wow. No.
Okay.
Alan also showed him a whole bunch of porn. Like, I mean, it is what it is.
But no, but I mean, like, that feels weird that, like, you weren't the one, because you were roommates freshman year, right?
Yeah.
Like, how did this not happen?
Well, I showed him the important ones.
Sophomore year, we weren't. And then junior year, we were again.
Freshman year,
we were. So this happened sophomore year.
Right.
Well, but yeah, how was this? Like, this is such a big part of your life. How did this not happen freshman year?
Well, I mean, like, there was other things.
You had shit going on,
right? I had shit going on, right? Like, I mean, yeah.
There were girls.
So Fair. Many girls. just
swimming
but women.
I'd seen the Last beginning time. Of this.
I ain't been pipping. It's been a minute.
I'd seen the beginning of this movie at least once or twice when I was really little.
Yeah. Isn't it weird, like, how when you're little, you just see the beginnings of this? Like, were they just playing this on TV for no reason? Well, that's just
how, yes. Yes. I mean, that's how our lives were. Yeah.
Well, and also in the 80s, it was just like, if you were a kid and the grownups were watching something you weren't allowed to watch, it was your job to leave the room.
And if you decided not to, guess what? You got to see a whole bunch of shit. Like, that was the thing.
Yeah, you
like,
would just see shit that you weren't ready for. But I also remember there were plenty of kids that were allowed to see it. I was probably 4. And it was the brief period of time when I was living in New Jersey. There was a babysitter that I would go to who was actually a terrible babysitter. And my parents never realized how bad a babysitter she actually was. But she had 2 kids who were a little bit older than me, and they used to beat the shit out of me, but they also were always watching horror movies.
Wow.
So like they were always watching Nightmare on Elm Street, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I was happy when they were, because then they weren't beating me, but
yeah.
I would just like go into the other room and be by myself while they were watching this movie that I clearly wasn't allowed to watch. But I remember seeing this opening scene several times when I was very small.
Hmm.
Mm. And it's a good opening. It's a great opening, actually. It's a pretty phenomenal opening. Like, she's like waking up. She doesn't know where she is. She starts walking. It sets the stage for everything. And it does it in this fantastic, like,
see-through nightgown.
Ooh, wait. Mm, never mind.
What?
Those are also the only tits that we get in this movie, too, and I'm really getting upset at the lack of tits in these movies.
The beginning of this movie is a very repulsion Roman Polanski. Like,
it is.
It is very repulsion Roman Polanski, and I didn't want to be the one to say the P name, but it is.
You did it.
Hey, sometimes you got to.
Sometimes you got to. It is.
Interesting.
Liam, you no longer owe me $5. We're going to call it square for right now. We're good to go. Juice. But yeah, great opening, fantastic opening. All of the boiler scenes were filmed in like fucking a Lincoln Heights jail in Chicago that was filled with asbestos. Literally right after they wrapped filming on this, they had to like close down that jail because it was so lined with asbestos everywhere. That's a little bit of trivia for folks. Anyway, yeah, that's it's awful.
The opening
asbestos
scene
won't hurt you as long as it's not airborne.
Yeah, but you still got to remove it just in case it gets airborne.
The opening scene also reminded me of, speaking of like taking inspiration from, the opening scene kind of reminded me of, and we haven't talked about this movie yet, but there, Insidious. There's a scene in Insidious that kind of, it reminded me of.
Yeah.
Like Insidious clearly got some inspiration from this, I think.
I believe it. There's no way
I also
not
feel
be
like Inception.
This.
Took a lot of beats from this.
Okay.
Mm.
To a certain extent, just as far as like a driving force of the suspense and or drama is, are you awake or are you asleep at any given point?
Mm-hmm.
And is that going to be like, oh, they're asleep. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's a really fascinating concept. I think it's a really cool idea. And I think, like, you know, Wes Craven went with it to a certain extent. You know, there are definitely elements of, like, some loose ends that I don't think were tied up very well. Although I think that that's a good, because one of my questions was, like, why these people? But I think that that's a fair assessment, Liam, with what you brought up with their parents being the ones who kind of incited this.
Let's talk about that for a second, actually. I want to talk about that for a second.
Great.
So there is an extended scene that it was only available on Laserdisc and VHS.
All
right. Right? That was the only way it was available, was on those two mediums. It basically makes the scene where Nancy's mom talking to her about the glove that she then literally pulls out of her own fucking boiler. Like, wow. Was that Freddy didn't die in the fire.
Uh-huh.
Freddy came out of the fire looking like that, horribly burned, mm-hmm. awfully burned, like skin falling off of him, okay? And then, like, swears vengeance upon all of their children, upon everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it is literally Nancy's mom that shoots him in the head.
Mm.
That is an extended cut. Also, the idea was that, like, all of the parents and the adults in town used to have brothers and sisters that got by Freddy when he was a living person.
Mm.
Also extended cut stuff, right? Again, I don't know why I hate that so much, but, like, I hate it because the elements of Freddy are so fun. They're so, like, I'm behind a tree. Hey, look at me. I'm cutting my fingers off. Whoop-a-da-boo. Like, this is...
So here's another thing. If you're ready for me to make it worse.
No, okay. Because I like Freddy, and I don't like that he's a child murderer. And every time I understand. Remember it, I like him less.
But why? Why don't... I mean, okay.
Because child murder's a bad thing, Lauren.
Why don't you like that he's a child murderer?
I don't like that.
Lauren, I have to tell you why.
Okay.
Because nobody is just a child murderer. They're a child something else that starts with an M first.
Yeesh. Ugh.
Okay.
Child murderer is old, old filmmaking code for the other thing.
Yeah.
Fair. They also murder them.
So that no one will tell that they did the first thing.
Mm.
Yeesh. And I hate it. And yeah. What's weird is in the remake of this with Rorschach, what's his name?
Yeah.
Jamie Earl Haley?
Jackie Earl Haley.
Jackie Earl Haley. I really am bad with names, aren't I?
You did pretty good with that one, though.
Jamie Earl Haley?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty close.
It was very close.
Thanks so much. Jackie Earl Haley in the new one is not just a murderer, but they also say a molester. They say that right up front. Mm. And that's the one where everyone was like, oh my God, wait, no, not Freddy. And it's like, no, dude, but come wait, on.
I mean,
we got that from the first
always,
one.
Yes, always hashtag yes and Freddy.
Yeah, like hashtag yes all Freddies. Like all Freddies have and all Freddies
like
do.
Prince Jr.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
But, and the thing is, on almost all subsequent sequels, we get way away from that. But we still use the weird dream sequences of kids singing his rhyme.
Okay.
And those kids are 100% his victims that he killed when he was alive. So we never actually ever get ever completely away from it. So while Freddy is fun, the deaths are creative. It's great. Hooray. It's problematic and I feel weird about it.
I mean... I don't know.
Because I can't enjoy Freddy if I know he's killed a bunch of kids and also touched him.
I guess I get it. I get it to a certain extent. But on the other hand, it's also like, but like, that's what these serial killers are. Like, it's bad.
Yeah.
So, like, it's bad from the get-go, right? Like, no, you know I what I mean? It, like, it's all right. bad. Murders. It's all bad. There's no good here.
I don't know why murder's not as bad for me as the other pit.
Well, I mean, I get it. I get it, for sure. But it's like nobody's empathizing with Freddy. Like, nobody's empathizing with these killers.
No, you're just... but people do, especially with Freddy, people root for him.
Really?
He gets fun, yes. man.
Like, okay. Well, I haven't gotten 100%. There yet.
Later on, he's like,
well, I mean, he's fun. Nobody in this movie you're going to see except Freddy.
Yeah, I'm going to go see
like Freddy. You're going to see Freddy be weird and kill people in yeah. weird creative ways. Okay. Nobody like you. The killer is the person you're going to see.
Okay.
So whether or not you mean right. to. You're rooting. It happens with Jason. It happens with Michael Myers.
Okay, that's actually I have a small bone to pick there. I think Jason picked it up sooner. I think Jason picked it up sooner with the creative and fun kills. Like, because okay. at a certain point, like Jason 4, Jason 5, when we start to see Freddy, Jason 5 or 6 starts to go, okay, let's make it fun. You know what? Hit a dude in a sleeping bag with another dude in a sleeping bag, Jason. Let's have a good time. Like, let's be fun and funny, right? That's when it starts to get fun and funny. For me, the audience at home, I'm like, yay, he's a TV. Yay, he's a giant worm that's eating them. Like, yay, he's the motorcycle that makes them go 100 miles an hour and kill. Like, it's fun and creative. And then you're reminded of the fact that who you're like having fun with is a child molester and murderer.
No, that's fair. That's
and
fair.
It's weird and gross.
Another reason yeah. why my Bloody Valentine just needed
again,
to take off.
Again, why can't
that
we just
awesome.
Have an insane pickaxe miner?
Right?
The Scooby-Doo extra. he's in the credits.
So in the dream, okay, here's something that I was a little confused by. But maybe y'all can help me shed light on this because I didn't make the connection of the Freddy going after the kids because their parents tried to kill him or killed
Did
him or
kill
whatever.
Him.
Yeah.
Set him on fire and
so clearly I was tired when I watched this movie.
Because of a mistrial.
But
he absolutely did kill his other kids.
Yes. Okay, so when Nancy falls asleep and she says to Glenn, stay awake.
Like Shaggy.
Right.
I don't fall asleep. It's just happened twice.
And
yeah, Glenn was also in her dream hiding behind a tree. What the fuck was that?
Right. What? That is exactly my question.
So the first,
that was the, I thought
already?
That's where you were going.
That's
so
where I was
he's,
going. Yeah.
She's straddling in a weird shamanic way of the waking and sleeping world. And okay. Glenn is like, yeah, I'm still here. Awake, talking to her while she's mumbling in her sleep. Hey, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Glenn, are you still awake? Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Okay, so he, at that point...
Is still awake.
He was still awake.
Yes.
She was, like, in some weird, like, mid-sleep area.
Yes.
Okay.
Supposedly.
I don't know.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her mom fucks real well, right?
Yeah.
Like, we can just all get on board with that.
Why? What? What?
Oh, yeah, they're, like,
her mom fucks.
Fucking.
Wait, time out. What?
They're, like, that, always fucking.
She takes... Her mom takes a bottle real well, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like, I mean, right to the lips. Bottle to lips all the time. That's the only way she drinks.
I had a lot of ups and downs with her mom because at the one point where she's in the bathtub and her mom was on it. And I was like, that is a good mom.
Boom. What's going on? Tell me what's up.
Right. Like,
sorry. No, no, no. Mm-hmm. You were screaming. Tell me what's going on.
Breaking down the door to get in there. Like, you know, like I was like, that is a good mom. And then the next scene, she's like three sheets to the wind on the couch.
Absolutely smashed.
And I was like,
and
okay.
then in the school, like just like absolutely wanted to hear everything she has to say and supporting her. But also like, why didn't you like... Do you, I mean, like, how come you're not taking this death seriously?
Right.
Like, and it's like, okay, come on, mom. What's going on here? Yeah. Also, her dad's the chief of police. What?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I'm the acting in this movie was just so bad.
Kind of tough.
So bad.
Kind of tough. But the stunts. Amazing. The stunts incredible. In fact, there's a dude named Ashley Secor. Kakor? He won Stunt of the Year because of this, right?
Oh, all
right. At no point until this film had been done had anyone been on fire this fucking much, right?
Like, really?
Freddy catches on fire. The stunt was supposed to be he catches on fire and runs up the stairs. That's what he was supposed to do, right? But he improvised falling down the stairs, getting up, and then running back up the stairs.
This is the stunt guy.
That's the stunt guy.
He did a great job, but man, like, that just looked like garbage. It looked like garbage.
But they kept it, and the reason why is, until now, no one had been continuously on fire for this long in film. Like, it's...
Wow.
Like, and I know that's like, who gives a fuck?
He was on fire for a while.
That's a big deal.
But he was on fire for
with a different face, though. Like, that was the weird. Like, it just looked bad. It just looked bad.
It is what it is.
Like, that person did a great job.
There is still no Oscar for stunt work, and there should be.
There should be.
There really should be.
All right.
I have two more. Are we ready for last call?
I think we can do last call.
Okay, I have three total. Three last calls. They're the last three things on my list, right? One, Heather Langenkamp's boyfriend actually was the one that made up the Freddy rhyme. 1, 2, Freddy's coming with you. And
that's
like
great.
Said, like did all that, right? So that's one.
That's great.
Two.
I hope he's getting like
he's credited for it, but I think he's getting royalties. I don't know. Two. The buckets of blood scene with Johnny Depp and Tina getting ripped apart all across the ceiling, both filmed in the same bedroom. They did not have a machine, so they hand-rolled the set. The set was a gigantic rolling set that they hand-rolled, right?
Oh my God.
They kept the camera bolted in place and strapped the cameraman down to a chair.
Oh my gosh.
Also bolted in place. Oh, and then slowly turned the whole fucking thing with the cameraman moving around. The guy, Richie, Tony, whatever his name was, that was accused of murder.
The Rod?
That's it. Rod is actually upside down. And his hair was plastered down so it would not go up.
Wow.
While Tina is the one on the ceiling moving around on the rolling set. All that's happening.
That's super cool.
Hand rolled that set while all that shit happened. They did
that's the same thing
again, but they fucked up the special effect with the 500 gallons of blood that they used for the Johnny Depp exploding bed scene. That they rolled it accidentally the wrong way. So all of the blood started pouring out towards the electrical outlets.
Oh, no.
And it turned off all the electricity for the entire set. They had to reset everything. They had to bring Johnny Depp back. They had to get all the blood back in the buckets, the whole bit, and then shoot it again. And again,
my God.
Same thing, upside down. If it looks like the water is running the wrong way, it's because it is. It was done upside down with the cameraman, with the camera bolted in place, the chair bolted in place behind the camera, and the cameraman literally strapped to the chair.
Wow.
It's because they didn't have the money to machine do this, so they hand-rolled that motherfucker.
Oh my gosh.
That is my second last call. Third last call will be, I guess, what we're rolling out with, which is DJ Jazzy Jeff and Jada Pinkett Smith's ex-husband, but also current husband, but also not, but also yes.
Estranged husband.
I guess. Will Smith with Nightmare on My Street. Chris.
Take it away.
Drop that needle.
Now I have a story that I'd like to tell about this guy. You all know me and we're scared as hell. He comes to me a night after I call into bed. He's burnt up like a weenie and his name is Fred. He wears same hat and sweater every single day, and even if it's hot outside, he wears it anyway. He's going on the way, but he shows up
Yeah, I'm gonna, can I go? I mean, I don't have much, but yeah. Like, okay, because you were talking about it, Johnny Depp's death, Glenn's death, and all that blood.
So much.
Is that all supposed to be his blood?
Yes.
Just his blood?
He turned him into blood.
He turned him into blood.
He's all blood now.
He is liquefied and a lot of blood. There was just a lot of blood.
I know. There's not that much.
No.
There's only like 3-4 gallons of blood.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've covered this in Passion of the Christ.
It's 5 gallons, right? Is it 5 gallons of blood? Can you look it up? How many gallons? It's 5 gallons. There's only 5 gallons.
I thought
gallons
it was 10 pints.
10 pints? How many gallons is that?
How much blood is in the body?
What's it say?
1.2 to 1.5 gallons.
It's really only like 1.5 gallons?
10 units.
That's not enough for what happened.
No. I mean, we knew that, right?
They had to have liquefied his ass. That's all there is to it.
And mixed him in with all the other supernatural blood.
What did I say? I said 10 pints, right?
You said 10 pints.
I was very close. 10.5 pints.
Oh my God. So 10's fine. 10 pints.
You know how I know that?
How?
Saw 5.
Great job.
Yeah.
You know so much about anatomy because of...
I know a lot about anatomy because of Saw.
I said anatomy.
An anatomy.
You did. It's an anatomy. It's an anatomy that I know about anatomy.
It's an onomatopoeia.
Clownfish hide in your body. That's symbiosis with anatomy.
That's my last call. It's just like, that was an excessive amount of blood for one person. It was too much.
It was. Especially a sweet little twink like Johnny Depp.
Right. Man, that costume, though, is iconic.
It is, and I love his cutoff jersey.
Yeah, the cutoff jersey.
I wish I could pull it off.
You totally could.
In every sense. You
would do great.
Yeah. I would look good in that.
It would.
With my gut I agree. Hanging out.
It would look Some people fabulous. Are into that. It would look great. It's me. I'm into that.
I don't know if great's the word.
It would look great.
Well, good. Perfect. As long as Lauren's into it.
I'm into it.
Awesome. Me in an undersized cutoff football jersey.
No, not undersized. No, it has to fit you. It has to fit
it
you
has to fit me.
In the shoulders, but just short. Okay. It would be great.
Just way short. So like it covers my boobs and some of my rib cage, but just my belly's all out.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I don't have boobs.
Yes, I do.
They're a little,
tell me I don't have boobs.
They're like just a little saggy. They're chesticles. It's different.
But yeah, I feel a little bad that we didn't spend enough time on Johnny Depp's midriff, but because I feel like that deserves some recognition.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
I'm trying to think. Do I have a last call?
Yeah, I was super underwhelmed by his first performance.
Same.
It was fine.
Like, well, it is weird comparing like fucking Jack Sparrow and like Edward Scissorhands to like,
or your fave Gilbert Grape.
Oh yeah, 100%. To
well,
them,
not no. That's Leonardo DiCaprio. Sorry, but he was in that movie.
Yeah, right, but, right.
Yeah,
right. And then,
yeah, he was no. So Johnny Depp was pretty low key until he hooked up with Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Because he was also basically the same person in Platoon.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no. So the one that
he
I remember
a very
him
small
by,
part in Platoon.
The one that I remember him by, like the first movie that I'm like, oh, that's an interesting person. I want to know more about him is Benny and June. So
yeah.
Who did that? That was 93.
But that was after Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, that's true. And Edward Scissorhands was good. Who did that though?
When did he
Jeremiah do Chechik?
When did he do Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
That was after. That was in the mid 90s. I want to say like maybe 96, 97.
98.
Oh, so close. Yeah. Just didn't go
so
high.
So Benny
enough.
And June was 93.
So he's a little weird there. Not full weird, but a little weird.
Benny and June?
Yeah.
He's pretty weird in that.
I would say full weird.
Okay.
Edward Scissorhands was 1990.
Full weird.
Pretty weird.
Yeah, that's full weird.
Yeah. You just said pretty weird. You said Benny and June is far weirder than Edward Scissorhands. He has scissors for hands.
Right, but like he.
You know they originally wanted Tom Cruise to play that part?
Oh, that wouldn't have worked.
He turned it down. You know why he turned down Edward Scissorhands?
Why?
Because he couldn't figure out how Edward Scissorhands went to the bathroom.
Fair.
And he was like, this makes no sense.
That's so funny. No, so my argument for not Edward Scissorhands not being full weird is because Johnny Depp didn't play him full weird. You know what I mean? Like, he played him earnestly. Like, the character was full weird, like, the situation. But Johnny
Depp was pretty low key. He just didn't look low key.
Right. That's exactly it.
He was weird design, but not.
That's exactly how I feel.
Behavior. Right.
Whereas I feel like, what was it? I think his character was named Sam in Benny and June. Like, he was pretty out there.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, though.
No, I get it. I just feel like Benny and June is like Girl Interrupted for neckbeards.
That's fair.
Dope.
No, because Benny and June is more popular with girls than it is dudes.
That's also fair.
But I love it.
Yeah, I know.
For I am a neckbeard.
You're also a girl.
I'm a girl neckbeard.
You are. No, a lot of your tastes have run towards traditional girl tastes. Like your favorite movie being Pretty Woman.
That's a great movie.
I'm not arguing. But I'm just saying, typically, if you're going with the heteronormative mold, societally, Pretty Woman would be more of a chick flick.
Yep. Is The Crow a chick flick? I love The Crow.
Yes. Yes. It is. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
It
is. The Crow is Pretty Woman for goth chicks.
Yeah.
Am I secretly a goth chick?
Ooh, yes.
Oh, man.
You are.
Fuck.
You've always been a goth chick.
Yeah.
You are my big titty goth girlfriend.
Yes, I love that so much. I am shipping that.
My titties
are
right. On the inside.
Is that the right lingo?
Are my big titties my confidence? Is that like?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I have another last call.
Good ratings.
Thank you. It's got to be from you, right? Oh man, don't make me go first. Are you gonna make me go first?
I'll go first.
I'll go first.
Oh right. Shit.
Don't all jump at once. Not me.
We did. Jones.
I am going to come in at a 4.25.
Wow. Mm,
thank you. Thank you. I feel like that's for
me. I think this movie is not great, but I think the things that are bad about it don't outweigh the things that are good.
Interesting. Okay.
I think it, for, you know, for all we've talked about how it's like, oh, he stole this from that and this from that and that from the other thing. Uh-huh. Regardless of the where these ideas were coming from, how they were synthesized into a single character and film, was really creative, and I think drove the format forward and the genre forward in a way that really hadn't been done since the first Halloween. I think it hit most of the same tropes, keeping in line with the genre, but didn't really feel bound by them.
Okay.
And so I think this is a fairly important movie in
horror history.
In the evolution of horror through the 80s. I don't think this led to a lot of good things necessarily. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's like, oh, this changed the game. It's kind of like Die Hard changed the action film game. but it doesn't mean that all the movies that came after Die Hard were good.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them were way worse. And I think that's probably going to end up being true of this. But when I see it, I have to recognize it. Like, this movie is a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's well directed. It's not as good as The Hills Have Eyes by any stretch.
Oh my God. Get out of here.
Gonna say it. It's no The Hills Have Eyes. But it's no, I think of the, I'm probably a little more Wes Craven than I am John Carpenter, if I'm looking back at my track record and being honest.
Okay.
I think I dig Wes Craven's shit. I like the cut of his jib a little bit more. Even though there were no tits in this movie, Wes.
None.
There were no tits. You had a very loud sex scene happening behind a door, and that's not where the loud sex scenes go, Wes.
But I also feel like, I don't know, I feel like I want to give it a little bit of credit in that it didn't even really tease the sex scenes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we just talked about Halloween 4. Like, that teased some titties and did not deliver. Like, I feel like this movie never actually teased that. And I can appreciate that.
You did get some, like, backside boob a little bit.
In Halloween 4?
In this one, when she's changing clothes.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's a beautiful back, and that little sliver of side boob was lovely. But I would have appreciated a little bit more from you, Wes. I mean, yeah. You got your start in porn. Start acting like
fair.
It.
Fair.
So, yeah, that's one of the things that held it back, really, in the grand scheme of things. But also, like, no, again, like, a lot of the acting is a little suspect.
Oh my gosh.
That's not so where they bad. Decided
it's
to put
bad.
Their money.
It's bad. Like, you're being so, really generous.
I've seen way worse on this show.
Yeah.
I mean, Robert Englund's killing it.
He is.
Robert Englund is killing it. Honestly, what's his name? Rod?
Yeah, he did well.
I thought he was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And for as big an asshole he was when he was on the run, I was actually like, no, I can kind of see it. You're sort of cute. Like, when he started admitting vulnerability and was really scared and stopped being that macho asshole who's like, I'm going to stab you, blah, 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 you know.
Right.
When he wasn't being himself, I was like, no, I can see what she sees in him, you know. So there was I don't know.
There was depth.
Maybe not nuance, but there were moments where I was just kind of like, oh, I get that.
Okay.
So, no, there were a lot of things that I liked about this movie. A lot of things that I really didn't, but I think overall the good outweighs the bad. And I think it was really creative in a way that nobody was asking for this. This was one of those things that nobody knew they wanted.
Right.
No, New Line Cinema had no dog in this fight.
Yeah.
New Line Cinema was going to go under and we're like, fuck it. Sure.
Yeah. If I get like the people didn't know they wanted this.
Right.
This was Wes Craven, like, being ahead of the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Juice.
And that's worth some recognition, I feel.
100%.
I feel like it's also going to all go down from here, but hey, we'll see what happens.
No, I promise you. Much like Friday the 13th, this franchise does nothing but get better. It slowly gets better. It just does. And then Halloween doesn't. It is what it is.
Okay, so I'm gonna go. I want you to be last on this one. Okay, so Liam, really good points. You have brought my rating up significantly in your review just now. So I was gonna give this a 2.5. I know, but I'm not. I'm not now because we have made some really good points here. So I'm going to up it to 3.75.
Nice.
Okay. And the reason I was going to give it a 2.5 is a little unfair. It's the acting. It's not even like the acting across the board. Because you're right. Robert Englund is good. The guy who plays Rod is good. But fucking Nancy is terrible.
Heather Langenkamp really is tough. Bad. It's tough for her in this one.
So bad.
It's bad.
And I mean, Johnny Depp is fine in this. Like, he's just not
fine.
He's not bad, but he's nothing special.
But it's tough when you're like, oh, that's Jack Sparrow. That's right. That's Edward Scissorhands. Well, one of the things is Crybaby.
So I think part of the problem with Johnny Depp in this movie is, I'm not going to say like, oh, he's too good. I don't think his acting style fits into this genre.
I think that's fair. Mm.
I think he's playing giving a much smaller performance, and probably in his head, he's brand new at this.
Right.
In his head, he's probably giving a really subtle, nuanced performance. Like if you really watch him when he's delivering his lines, like you can see Johnny Depp, the actor in there, really working.
Right.
But it does not communicate in this particular medium.
No, and that's
so. I don't
fair.
Think he was bad.
I think he was bad. No,
not. I just don't think he was noticeable in any meaningful way.
Right. I did not think he was bad. Absolutely. Like, there's no world in which he was bad in this. But he was fine. You know what I mean? He was no Tom Hanks and He Knows You're Alone, but whatever. We can't be there. We can't.
Yeah, you want to talk about bad acting? Tom Hanks was the only good acting in that whole fucking movie.
That's fair.
But I mean, the problem is that Heather
Langenkamp
fucking tanked this movie. I mean, she was terrible. There was nothing good about her performance. I'm sorry. Like, there just wasn't. And so I feel I was going to give it a 2.5 because of that, but that's not fair. Like, that's, and so hearing your perspective, and also like acknowledging that, this is a really clever concept. That hasn't, at this point, up until now, hasn't really, I mean, you touched on Shaggy about taking inspiration from It.
Yeah.
And yes, absolutely. But this is also like a very different twist on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was really clever. It is really interesting because I was like looking at the cast and being like, oh, Heather
Langenkamp.
Thank you. She hasn't really been in much else. And then I'm like, oh, well, now I get why. But.
And the concept is so stupid simple. It's like, how has nobody come up with this before now, where it's just like, oh, he's a boogeyman who kills you in your dream and then you die in real life?
Fair.
How has nobody been like, ding? Like, fair. Somebody should have thought of this well before 1984, but they didn't.
But they didn't, and he did. And I think that's really clever. So because of that concept, because this is such like a strong franchise, you know, disregarding some of the terrible acting, I think ultimately it is a strong movie, and I'm excited to see the other ones. So I'm going to come in at the 3.75.
Let's go.
Now it's your turn.
For me, it's 4.5.
Nice.
There are things that I don't find enjoyable about it anymore because I put a whole bunch of stuff together. But the idea here is that the reason why you watch these movies is because Freddy is this dark humor coyote trickster that runs around and kills people, right? Mm-hmm. And as far as you know, he used to kill kids, but now he just kills teenagers, which aren't kids. They're like a diet adults. It's different, right? Like,
right, like when you're a teenager, that's an adult.
Yeah, that's basically,
you know what
like,
I mean, like you're 16, when you're watching,
you're 17, you 18,
but yeah, when man. You're and when you're watching this as a 15 to 18 year old, you're like, those are adults
right there. You see that Heather Langenkamp, she's an adult.
Terrible actor,
but still an adult. And you think that Freddy kills adults in their dreams, and you don't put it all together that he's actually seeking revenge on all those people, and then just, I don't know, randomly kills teenagers and fall asleep just to punish all the adults of Elm Street or
like,
wherever.
Fuck you for trying to kill me when I raped your kids.
Like, yeah, that's
basically it.
Yeah, that's why I'm docking it, because it makes me feel squidgy and I don't like rough. It. It's like, yuck. So I don't like any of that.
No
one does. But the other bits, he's iconic to the point that, like, once you start getting parodied, to the point that you know who Scary Terry is,
my gosh.
To the point that you know who these other, like, parodies are, Turkey. To, like, The Simpsons, Treehouse.
Oh, my gosh. Chris and I literally just watched The Treehouse. This is what I wanted to do for my last call. I didn't do it. Sorry, I'm interrupting you for a hot minute.
Do it.
Chris and I watched The Treehouse of Horror, just, like, totally,
randomly.
Like, unrelated.
Which one?
Like, we watched the one, the Nightmare on Elm Street one. I think it was like five or six, whatever. And it was like, it was dead on. I was like, because Chris hadn't watched Nightmare on Elm Street yet. And I was like, well, there you go. That was it. Because I'm doing some research now for a show I'm in. And so we were watching all the Treehouse of Horrors stuff. And I think the Treehouse of Horror, it's called like Nightmare on Evergreen or something. It was a really good one. And it was a good parody. Sorry.
Dope. No, you're good.
Thank you.
The idea is that, like, if you become such a pop culture icon that you start to get parodied, you're obviously an important part of the culture. This saved a brand. This reignited horror. Because, like, people were like, the Jasons and the Mike Myers, they're just these machismo 70 strong men that kill people. Like, it's not fun anymore. And then Freddy,
like, Freddy's all burnt up and he runs stupid.
Yeah. He's like,
and he runs. No, he actually chases you.
He does run, but he runs in such a way that you can tell he's really having a good time.
That was the inspiration for Leprechaun. You cannot tell me otherwise.
The idea here is, and he has to be the inspiration for Leprechaun, because Leprechaun has such a good time the entire time. Fair. Having fun. Same deal. Jason isn't having fun. Mike isn't having fun. Freddy's having a real good time.
He definitely plays with his food.
Oh, yeah. He has a blast. A blast. And that's fun to see. Watching somebody just so in their element that they're really enjoying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if it is kid killing. It's really a problematic thing. Anyway, yeah. For all those reasons, because it is fun to watch. This one, you know. And the next one, honestly, is also a little, like, rough. After that, though. Woo!
Roll it.
Roll it.
It's fine.
Roll. Hey, do this week's roll. What's the number on the chance cubes?
649.
Not me.
Not you.
Decided. 649.
Are we up to almost 700 things on the list?
I get low.
My God.
We're at like 670 territory.
The Applegates.
What?
I don't know. The Applegates. I put it on the list.
So you should know.
Wait, hold on. Special guest. Okay, I added notes instead in the guest cube, in the guest area. The thing I put down here is saw it in a meme. That's what I put.
There it is. All right.
Saw it in a meme. So
perfect.
Come on down, memers, and watch the thing you made me say.
Well, I'm sure we'll have plenty to discuss next time. So thank you, everybody, for joining
us.
Tell them about
the social memes.
I will tell them about the social memes, the memes on the socials. You should join us on Facebook, on our Facebook group, which is named the Fright Pub Podcast Juice Posting More.
Juice!
Where you can chime in on what your thoughts are on Freddy Krueger being a bad person. To the rousing surprise of everyone.
Literally no one. I'm fine with him turning into a television that eats people, but child murder?
Right.
That's where I draw the line.
That's where I draw the line.
Yeah. And so you can also jump onto the old Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and a review, because that helps us in some magical way with algorithms. So do it. And yes, thank you for joining us. We're glad you came. And until next time.
Please podcast responsibly.
Stay Friday in your dreams.
Your friend is very ill.
Who did this to you, man? What's done? I'm telling you, Jim. You've done it. Nobody did it.